Nash. I'm speaking from Sastry Baptist Church in Greenwich, London. Today I'm going to speak, and the topic that I have for the preach is Jesus is a present reality. Jesus is a present reality. That means we cannot only think of Jesus Christ thousands of years ago. But we have to think about Jesus Christ, whom we say we worship, as a present reality. And my key Bible verse today will be taken from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Whatever version you've got, that is fine. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus Christ, whom we serve, whom we worship, who went on the cross to die for us, is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and forever. So your vision about Jesus in the past should be your vision in the present and your vision for the future. Hallelujah. The same Jesus Christ who was a miracle worker, who was a savior on the cross, who resurrected from the dead, is the same Jesus that we are serving. So whatever he did in the past, he does it today and will do it again tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. A thought to bring your mind into the reality that Jesus Christ is a present reality. So today my message is to encourage Christians in the main. But for those of you who don't know Jesus Christ or who have not crossed the line of faith yet, please don't switch off. But stay with me, for God has a message for you that will change your life for the better. So my online audience, I will say that today God wants to change your life for the better, whether you are a Christian or not. Be in that state of expectancy, because Jesus is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and will be the same forever. Jesus is a present reality. I'll start by saying that Jesus' birth and ministry was heralded by the Holy Spirit. It's very important that we know this. The reason being, Jesus Christ was not here on this earth as God, but he was here as man. And let's see the reason why. And let's go to the beginnings. You see, God made man in his image for us to have a relationship with him. That was made possible because God breathed his Holy Spirit into man. And man became a living being. A living expression of the image, the character, and the supernatural nature of God. And you can take a reference from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living being. Having done that, man became a representation of God here on earth and the only being who can also access God in heaven. So man was here on this earth going about his own life. From our study of the story, we call it managing his own lower life activity. He was also given the ability, because of the Spirit of God in him, to be able to connect with the upper story of God. Are you following? So in his lower story will be complete when he's able to assess the upper story of God. So when the two coincide and collide, then God's will, God's purpose will be realized in man, human being. So our life here, our lower stories cannot be complete unless we who have the Holy Spirit breathe into us to become a living expression of the nature, the character, and the will of God are able to connect with Him, are able to access God, so that we can be complete in our lives. And we know the story. And the story, as we know, for man, Adam, for that matter, or any for that matter, sin, disobedience, independence, and going our own ways broke that relationship and access to a supernatural God. We thus lost the authority, the power, and the nature of God that was originally intended. So wherever you are, I just want you to know that if you're a child of God, if you know God, or you don't even know God, you haven't crossed the line of faith yet. You see, going your own way, being independent of God, walking in disobedience and sin breaks that relationship and access to that supernatural God. From that point, we lose authority. We lose the power. We lose the nature of God that was originally intended for us to walk in. Jesus, therefore, had to come to this earth in the form of man so that He will restore our relationships back to God so we can access the throne of God again. Hallelujah. See, by coming in the form of man and not God, He identifies with our weaknesses. He identifies with our frailties. He identifies with our challenges. He identifies with our victories. He identifies with all that make us human, but without sin, without those disobedience, without having His own way, without being independent. And in so doing, He came to restore that relationship back to God. And He did that on the cross of Calvary. Pressing on, for that relationship to happen, He had to be over, for Him to really restore the relationship for us fully, He had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He had to be overshadowed with the Holy Spirit at His birth. Likewise, when it came to the time of ministry, that is to serve the needs of man, He also needed the Holy Spirit to descend on Him so He can access God and bring heaven down here on earth so that His kingdom, God's kingdom, will come. Hallelujah. This is very important that we get these foundations of our faith. So for anyone to be able to be restored back to God, to be able to access God and have a relationship with Him, we access God through prayer, right? To be able to reconnect with God and have Him as part of your agenda because you are walking in the nature of God, then we need the Holy Spirit also to give us a new birth. So the new birth cannot happen until it's defined by the Holy Spirit filling you again. And that is what makes you Christian. You bear the name of Christ. You become a child of God. You become God's people. This is very important. And once you become God's people, you have that ability, that authority restored for you. That ability and the willingness to want to access God. To be able to pray to God. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you are able to bring heaven down here on earth in your realm, in your situation, in every situation that you face. Sometimes Christians forget because the enemy just mess up our minds so much that we focus on the pressure that we are going through and we don't remember who God has made us. God has been doing this time and time again. That means filling people with His Spirit time and time again. This is not the first time He did it when Jesus Christ was born. Filling his people with the Spirit of God, we can think of the time of Aaron, the priest, the high priest. We know that God told him that you got to be anointed. We have to pour the oil upon you. That is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. Because without that, you cannot stand before men and access God on behalf of the people. He did that with Moses during the time of building the tabernacle of God. He said, you know what? I know the crew and the people that you have. They have skill set. They are amazing people. They have talents and everything. But you know what? I know you already even have Aaron. But what I want you to know is that those things are good, but unless you bring them and I breathe my spirit in them, they cannot access me. Remember when we were doing communion, we said, let my people go. Go where so that they can worship God. So without a Spirit of God filling us, our creativity is great. Our talents are great. But when we bring it before our supernatural God in his tabernacle or in a congregation or anywhere people are gathered to worship God, it's meaningless. Unless the Spirit of God uses you. Do you understand that? I can give you Bible verses for that, but let them save you the time. This is the same in the time of Gideon. Gideon in the Bible in Judges chapter 6, you read that this guy was kind of the people of Israel were in difficulties. They needed God to come through. But for God to come through, he had to do things supernaturally. But for that to happen, someone need to be willing for God to come through for him. And Gideon, though, was an unwilling volunteer. The amazing thing is that from the time that the Bible said, and God filled him with his spirit, or the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. From that time, Gideon gathered strength and said, yes, God, I will go. And he started picking people. We've got 32,000 people against 135,000 Midianites. No match there, was it? But God had to intervene to make the impossible possible. Let me move on very quickly. So I'm trying to bring you to the point to understand that God has always been working on the basis that you have to fill people with his spirit. That is when you take on the nature, you take on the authority, the power, and the image. That is when you take up the name of God to win battles, to be successful, to be able to worship him appropriately. We think about Samson. All these people were filled with the Spirit of God. He was filled with the Spirit of God in his mother's womb. He was one of three people said in the Bible that who the Spirit of God came upon them in their mother's womb. Samson, John the Baptist, and Jesus Christ. So you could see that Samson was a special kind of guy. At the time, the people of Israel were under Kosh again during the time of the Judges, chapter 8, where literally the Philistines were messing them up. And the only person whom God chose to be able to defeat the Philistines was Samson. But then you see that Samson couldn't do it in his own strength. But any time you read it, and the Spirit of God came upon Samson and became so strong and was able to push back the Philistines. But what I'm alluding to is that Samson, though, had the Spirit of God upon him. He misused that privilege. And he couldn't annihilate or push back many Philistines. They overpowered him because he did not continue to connect with God and access God. And because of his inability to bring a breakthrough, do you know today, that same land that the Philistines occupied is still being occupied by the descendants of the Philistines. And they're still terrorizing the Israelites. So what am I saying? I am saying that we need the Spirit of God to fill us to do what God wants us to do. Because we are here on this earth and God is not coming down in person to fight our battles. But God will come and use you, use me, whoever is watching me now. God is ready to use you to fight those battles, to bring those breakthroughs, to shift those boundaries, and to push back anything and any obstacle that is in your way. Hallelujah. We can think about Saul, the king of Israel. We'll mention him later on, so I'll just mention his name. We can think about a prophet who would have loved to see our day, where the Holy Spirit is permanent, though consistent there most of the time with us. They only had the Holy Spirit descend upon them at special occasions or every now and then. And they were powerful people. We can think about it, Elizabeth. John the Baptist became the last prophet, Old Testament prophet. And he came to announce the coming of Jesus Christ. You can check it 700 years back in the book of Isaiah. And when he came, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come. And I am only a forerunner. I'm not even worthy." But before he was born, guess what? The Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth. So you can see that we need the presence of God, a supernatural power of God. We need the Holy Spirit to be a precursor to what God wants to do in our lower stories so that we can connect with the upper story of God. And when they coincide, miracles happen. When they coincide, impossible things become possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The disciples did the same. Jesus himself even told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he said, "Wait until the Spirit has come. And when it comes upon you, then you move out." On the day of Pentecost, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So I'm provoking you, I'm encouraging you. Whoever is looking at me today, wherever you are in your home, wherever you are watching me, I am provoking you that we need the Spirit of God to move us another level. Jesus Christ must be a present reality. We cannot see the day of Pentecost. Oh yeah, on the day of Pentecost. Remember, we just celebrated Easter and we've forgotten already? A lot of Christians have forgotten. We are waiting for the next one, Pentecost, church calendar. We're waiting for Father's Day. We're waiting for XYZ. Then the next, we are waiting for Christmas, Advent. You see, we are happy to wait for the event. But does it mean anything to us? In between, we're normal. The time comes, so holy. Hallelujah. Spend a little bit more time than I should have in this side. But what God did in the past with all these people, he also did with Jesus Christ. Anyone who is now restored in the image of God through Christ stands in the good position for the Holy Spirit of God to fill him or her so we can be used of God the same way as he used Jesus Christ and our fathers. We cannot therefore serve a historical God anymore. Or only be followers of the historical Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So Jesus should thus be a present reality in your life, in my life, and in your life. Hallelujah. We have to cooperate with God for him to use us. See, many people are quite happy to be Christians. They go to church to sing. They go to church to laugh. They go to church to listen to very nice sermons that leave them where they are while souls are perishing, while their loved ones don't know Jesus Christ and are oppressed by the enemy. And there are a whole lot of mess all around them and many people suffering from financial hardship, yet they do nothing about it. They are Christians. These days you can't even sing in church the way you wanted to. But these Christians love their traditions. And they love their comfort zones. In fact, I read somewhere not long ago, during this time of pandemic, and somebody that I fairly know, said, "What is church without teas, coffees, and biscuits?" Wow. And I'm thinking, amazing. That's people who's vision about church. You take that one out and there's commotion. But you see, this current pandemic has actually come to destroy that. You can have tea and coffee in your home, right? You can have all these things. So why is that so important in church? And people couldn't wait for service to finish so that they can have their teas and coffee. What is church without teas, coffees, and biscuits? You see, some Christians are happy to be in the maintenance mode. See, maintenance mode is in that state where there is no growth, where there's no deliverance, where there's no maturity or the reality of Jesus in their lives. They wear the Christian badge. We just had a census. I remember what you decided your faith was. When they talk about what faith or something, right? Or religion, and people put something there. The majority of people, I understand, said they were Christians in this country. I don't doubt that. But what I'm saying is that a lot of Christians are in maintenance mode. A lot of people who say they are Christians are in maintenance mode. That means they are exactly where they are. They are not growing. They are not getting deliverance from unforgiveness. They're not getting deliverance from generational curses. They're not getting deliverance from sin and sexual immorality. They're not getting deliverance from lies. They're not getting deliverance from all sorts of illnesses and diseases. They're not getting deliverance. They are in the same state. Yet, they go to church. This is not the image of God that Jesus Christ came to restore for us. So we have to make sure that Jesus Christ is a present reality, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we need the presence of God to be with us and empower us. The presence is the atmosphere. The presence is the environment. The presence is the very person of God and the very person of the Holy Spirit to be with us. So wherever you are, for Jesus to be a reality, you have to walk with God. He's got to be that person that is real in your life. Your atmosphere, the environment, the very person of God and Holy Spirit should saturate it day by day. Let me give you some Old Testament examples. See, the most feared and respected people in the Old Testament were the prophets. Right? You agree with me? Well, I agree. When they spoke, things happened. Their interactions with God produced a very healthy fear of God that often had a great impact on how people thought and lived. There was one thing that separated them from the rest of the crowd or the community. It was that the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And whenever it came, everything changed. In that moment, everything changed when the Spirit of God came upon them. Otherwise, they were just normal citizens. They went from respected citizens of a city or of a community to a feared citizen of heaven. God became a living reality for them and the community because the Spirit of God was upon them. The presence of God was upon them. It changed everything. The prophet became seers then. They were able to see into the future, the present, and even in the past. They became seers, and God used them in an unusual ways. It was the Spirit of God that came upon them, which brought about the most overwhelming influence over people. God spoke through them, backing his word with signs and wonders following them. The Spirit of God, the one who himself saturated heavens with his presence, rested upon these people. And when the Spirit of God does that, things do happen. So when we invite the presence of God in every part of our meeting, in every part of our gatherings, something happens. See, in the Old Testament, before the prophets, you know, the prophets actually came very late, during the times of the kings. They operated during the time of the kings, 400 years. And then we heard about some prophets when they were in exile during those 70 years, Ezekiel and Daniel. And then we had another three prophets who completed the Old Testament, Haggai, Malachi, and what's the other one? There was one more. But let's move on. I don't want to deviate. But what was happening is that during the time of Israel, God's presence was seen in the Ark of the Covenant that was walking with them. And when the Ark of Covenant was walking with them, there was power, there was victory, there was breakthrough. They were able to move forward to possess what they had to do. They were able to defeat their enemies. The only time that they had the Ark of God with them and they couldn't make any breakthrough was when they were messing about. And the Ark went into the hands of the Philistines. Note that name. One day I'll preach about it for you to understand exactly what it stood for. These early prophets carried the presence of God in a way that was rare, especially for their day. They became trailblazers for us by their interaction with God and receiving revelations to pass on. Our generation is better positioned to receive greater revelation because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so that we can carry on with the assignment Jesus has given to us. That is why the Bible said even the greatest in the least in the kingdom of God is bigger, mightier than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a prophet. He was a friend of God, but we are children of God. So you tell me who has better access? The children. So we have better access, and this better access will only be real to us when we begin to open our eyes to receive fresh revelation. We don't have to always sit with the same theology that we've been born with, the same, constitution that we have followed, and then stick with that and worship those things. We have to open our hearts for God to move, to bring us fresh revelation. You cannot put new wine into an old wineskin. So Jesus said, this is a new covenant of my blood. Something needs to be new. We cannot rely on the lamb that was slaughtered physically. We have to rely on something new, Jesus Christ himself. Hebrews 1:1 tells us that Jesus Christ is the revelation of God, and he is the very image of God. And God spoke to us in the past through the prophet, but now he speaks to us through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we have to be opened to fresh revelation. I've been a Christian for a long, long time, since my very early teens. 46 years on, I'm still a Christian. Hallelujah. And I've seen many things. I've passed through many images. I haven't been to many churches. Will you believe that I became a Baptist as a teenager? So I've been a Baptist for a long time. I'm not saying Baptists have the best theology. Don't get me wrong. I chose because I was from the Church of England. My mother was from the Presbyterian tradition. My grandfather was a presbyter. My father was from the Methodist tradition. And there are people who are presidents of the Methodist, what is the word they use? Not congregation, but whatever it is. So that means I came from a serious home. Yet, I chose to be where I am. And as a teenager, I've been a youth pastor in Waterloo for several years. And through that, I've learned to grow as, if one to put labels, to be a charismatic Christian. So I've passed through all these days. So if I'm standing there, I'm talking, I'm not just somebody from somewhere. Somebody who knows God for himself. Hallelujah. So let's see. Our generation is better positioned to receive greater revelation before because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit so that we can carry on with the assignment God has given us. And look at what the Bible tells in Haggai chapter 2, verse 9. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. It says, "The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts." Praise the Lord. Let me quote one of my favorite, modern day theologians or apostles or whatever you may call him. Apostle Bill Johnson, he wrote in one of his books, I believe it's Hosting the Presence. Yeah. I pick it up. Hosting the Presence. He said, there is an obvious, this is a quote, so it's got to be right. There is an obvious progression in the revelation of God for his people and an increase in the manifest presence and glory. We have the benefit of greater clarity of heart and mind through the advance that previous generations have obtained for us. We cannot, therefore, sit anymore in our denominations, in our religions, and our theologies in light of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit during these end times, unquote. He's someone that I respect so much. He came from the Assemblies of God tradition. He's been one of the most powerful Holy Spirit driven and present church in the world. And many people travel from here to just go and glean a little bit of anointing, a little bit of revelation. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. He is alive and in the now. We thus have to adjust the way we think and see to not only realize the presence of God, but also to cooperate with God and what he is doing in this time. See, if you don't cooperate with God with what he's doing this time, you'll miss that opportunity of the outpouring of God. That is why my local church, I tell you that you got to begin to tune in into this. Because some of you have known me for several years. And you've seen the change that God has brought in my life because of having fresh revelation and having an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Because we all need the Holy Spirit to continue refreshing us. Sometimes some preachers say we leak. Maybe. But whatever it is, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the apostles had the day of Pentecost. And yet, they go to Acts chapter 4 and say, God, equip us and fill us with the Holy Spirit with boldness. And they go to chapter 10, they said, fill us with the Holy Spirit. They were being filled all the time. And in the ministry of Stephen in Acts chapter 6, he was being filled. You go to Philip in Acts chapter 8, he was being filled. And even Paul in Acts chapter 9, Saul, when he encountered Jesus Christ powerfully, he had to spend time to be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized and then filled with the Holy Spirit so that he could go about to preach. And he wrote most of the New Testament, right? We have to be willing. We have to have the willingness to do what the occasion requires. You see, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you've got to be willing to do what the occasion requires. In the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit filled them, they did what the Holy Spirit required. Jesus Christ, when he got baptized, when you read it in the books of Matthew and the books of Luke, you see that when he was baptized, the Spirit of God came upon him again. He was filled in his mother's womb. He said, the child that will be born will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he had to be filled again, be ready for ministry, having been baptized. And the Holy Spirit affirming him that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You go to Mark chapter 9, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. So we have to be listening to Jesus Christ, who is being filled, who is encountering God, and who is bringing fresh revelation. We go to Acts chapter 1, and we read. So Mark chapter 1, I believe. We read from verse 15, when he said, "The kingdom of God has come." He said, "Behold," take note, this is important, "for I'm bringing the kingdom of God down here." He wasn't bringing a physical kingdom. That's what he told Pilate. He said, "I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this earth. It's a supernatural kingdom." And when he brought it, people were so mesmerized. In Mark chapter 1, I believe we read from verse 21, 22 onwards. Even you can go back to 19. When he was preaching, the people said, "Wow, this is a new teaching. He doesn't teach like our prophets. He doesn't teach like our teachers or our scribes. He brought fresh teaching." That is why you are hearing me in this church. If you're thinking I've lost the plot, I haven't. The Holy Spirit has filled me, and therefore I have to bring fresh teaching. The same word of God, but we've got to open your eyes to have fresh revelation, so that will move you to action, so that you can do what God saved you to do. A lot of Christians have been saved, but they are sitting there. You ask yourself, when was the last time that you told somebody that you are living in the kingdom of darkness? And unless you change and come into the kingdom of light, or listen to the word of God and be brought back into the kingdom of light, you are destined for damnation and your purpose cannot be realized. When was the last time? How many people are in your house who don't know Jesus Christ and you still haven't opened your mouth? You work with them. You've never said anything. Your Christianity is private. Who told you that? You can keep it that way. But Jesus Christ, the present reality, he never hid. Because at one point, people were saying, "Where is he? There's the festival. Where is he? He cannot be hiding anymore." But he wasn't hiding all the time. He never hid. The only time that he was away from them was when he was accessing God, praying. And just as they were complaining about, "Where is he? Where is he?" he showed up. He was always in the public eye, doing what he had to do. Showed the love of God, saved souls, preached to them about the kingdom of God. Get them to connect with God back. And he followed that with signs and wonders and miracles and healings and deliverance. So why should we read about those things and we don't do them these days? And our excuse for not doing them is that we begin to contain the people in denominations. Like, we are all streams of spirituality. That is better, not denomination. Streams of spirituality. Oh, you are a Pentecostal. Pentecostals are all always happy, happy. Yes, we are happy, happy. That is, if you are black, you are Pentecostal. If you are white, you are charismatic, right? Same Holy Spirit. We just put people in little pockets. You see, sometimes Christians don't like to hear the truth. They just squirm. But then the truth is eternal. Hallelujah. The boldness that I have came from the Holy Spirit anointing me. And when the Holy Spirit anoints you, he gives you fresh revelation. And today, I just want to say that it's not about being a Baptist, being a Pentecostal, being evangelical, being a charismatic, or whatever your stream of spirituality. It's about Jesus, the reality of Jesus. So the same Jesus that we read, if he only came to the cross and saved us, then we are most to be pitied. You know why? Because he did more. The cross was the ultimate plan to access, to bring us back to God. But whilst we were here, do you know that he said he came for the household of Israel? He was preaching to the church more than the people outside. So the people outside, when they saw what a church was benefiting from, they said, "I want a bit of that." So they started following Jesus Christ. So it starts from the church. When they see the miracles, when they see the signs, when they see the wonders, then they will say, "I want a bit of that." Do you remember any of them saying, "I want to be a Pentecostal"? I'm not saying these are good, please, because you need to protect what you have. I need to protect my Baptist identity because, as I said, I spend most of my time as a Baptist. But I want to be a Christian. And therefore, it's not about denominations. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. You know something? Let me stop here. I will be so excited because next week I'm preaching. And then I will continue. Because otherwise I will be carried away. I have so much to tell you. Hey, Father, we thank you for today. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Father, we bless your holy name, O God. Father, today we are willing to be children of God. Father, today we come before you in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Father God, I pray. And Father God, I pray for anyone out there. Anyone out there who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I've spent the last 40 minutes talking. I spent the last 40 minutes trying to tell you that we need the Spirit of God to make us who God wants us to be. And right now, if you don't know this Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm talking directly to you. That God wants you to give your life to Jesus Christ. To give you that living hope. He went on the cross and died for you. That you will be saved. He went on the cross to die for you. So that the enemy will not mess up your destiny. He went on the cross to die for you. So that when you were to die and you open your eyes, you will see Jesus and be in the arms of the Lord. Are you willing? Are you willing to do what is required? Are you willing to give your life to Jesus? Are you willing to say, God, today is my day. Today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. So I come to you so that you will accept me as your Lord, as you accept me as your child. Right now, Father God, I know that no uncleanness can come to you. I know that I've lived my own way. I know that sin cannot come to you. But when sin comes to you, you are ready. When we say, Lord, we are sorry, to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So right now, I am coming to you. I'm coming home. Tell God that I'm coming home. You are coming home. So that he will accept you. So that he will wipe your destiny that has been messed up. He will wipe them clean with his precious blood. You are coming home so that Jesus Christ will welcome you into the fold. You are coming home so that Jesus Christ will put his Spirit in you so that he become a living reality in your life, because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, Jesus Christ wants to come into your life. Are you willing to say, Father, I'm sorry that I've lived a life without you. I'm sorry that I've been that person who go to church but don't know you personally. Are you willing to say that, God, I'm so sorry that I've messed my life up in sin. All manner of things that does not glorify your holy name. Are you willing to say, Father, today, accept me. I accept the cross and the work that you did on it to pay for my sins and to bring me back to God. Father, thank you for loving me and for accepting me. Thank you, Jesus. If you've prayed in your own home, wherever you are, right now, in response to what I'm saying, I just want to encourage you that go to the description part of the video that you are watching. Contact us. Use the link to contact us. Give us your name. Give us something to connect back to you. And we will help you to reconnect and be embedded in the name of Jesus Christ. We're currently starting a new class. We call it a new life, a new beginning. We are going to have it on Zoom starting on the 4th of May. And I want you, as you listen, as you contact us, tell us that you would like to be part of it, and we will sign you up in the comfort of your home. We will show you how to take those steps to be filled and be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can walk with God. And now for those of you who have heard me preach today, and as you heard me, you know that God is real. You have sat in church for as long as I've been a Christian. Nothing has changed in your life. You're still more interested in something else. Today I'm appealing to you. If you want to reconnect your life to Jesus Christ and be spiritually energized, be filled with the presence and the power of God, I want to pray for you. But you tell God that, God, I want to recommit my life to you, to follow you. Tell God that, and as you tell God that, ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you again, to make you that man, that woman that God wants you to be. Father, I thank you for as many people that are watching me right now, or who watch me subsequently, wherever they are. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, as many as will call upon your name, they shall be saved. Father, bring them back. You said you have other sheep who are not of this flock, but you will bring them back to yourself. I pray that today you bring them back to the fold so that they can reconnect and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Those people who are not even sure, Father God, I pray that you speak to their heart to be bold enough to contact us on the internet and come on a new life and a new beginning, and we will help them navigate this journey in a gentle way. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I want to pray for the next 2 minutes. I'm praying for you. If you are facing a problem, an issue, what is urgent, crisis moment for you, I'm only praying about crisis issues. If a situation is crisis for you right now, it could be sickness, point of death, it could be financial issue, it could be legal issue, it could be job issue, it's crisis for you, I'm going to pray for such people. If that is you, I'm going to pray for a breakthrough. That means supernatural intervention of the Holy Spirit to bring a sudden burst of vitality, to make the impossible possible. That's what I'm going to pray for you for. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, oh God, for every man and every woman who is reaching out to you right now. Father God, I'm praying, anyone in crisis listening to me right now, Father, I pray in your mighty name that the Spirit of God will move, Father God, to bring a miracle, to bring a breakthrough, to bring deliverance to them in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive your breakthrough. Receive your deliverance. Receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of Jesus. Right now in the name of the resurrected Christ. Right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you that you are a mighty healer, God of miracles. Amen.